Under his wings I'm safely abiding, though the night deepen and tempest is wild. Still I can trust him, I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child.
Start a night service, a place that gives us comfort and protection under God's care. The songwriter called it His Wings. Let's pause for prayer this time. Let's ask Robert Wells to lead us tonight in our prayers.
Father God, Lord, thank you for receiving us into the open doors of this your house. We thank you for this work, and we thank you for this fruitfulness, Father. Thank you for the fact that the pastor is leading us exactly as you tell us in your word that it should be done. We just pray that you would continue to use this church as a mighty outlet of yours in these closing times, because we know things are becoming really dire out there. We have a country here just about ready to be split apart for stupid reasons, and as a result, there's that to look forward to in terms of stretching it out. We just ask, Lord, that you would continue to minister to us in a mighty way as we would seek to get the word out for you before these doors and gates do close. And we just ask, Lord, that you would give us the increase for each and everything that we invest into this work. And we know that it's a costly approach to doing things this way, but we know, Lord, that this is your will and that you would have us to do it. And we thank you, Lord, that this can be known as a going church.
Yes, Lord.
So much for it. And we just pray that you would give answer to our prayer for a really good service around your word today. And we just ask that you would allow us to come away from this house being better for being in it and having learned the things that we did. In Christ's name we ask these things.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated, and let us come back again to hymn books, to page number 333. First, second, and last verses, we will sing together. Ah, friend, I have called Jesus, love is strong and true, and ever fills of every stride, no matter what I do. I sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessed all my guilt to him, love sent close road. Just like Jesus all along the way, it's just like his sweet love. Sometimes lift a glass of trouble, redeem the skies above. I cannot see my Savior's face. I doubt if one was so, but he from heaven's most deceit, behold in my despair, in peace he passed the clouds between and shows me his day. It's just like this to roll the clouds away. It's just like this to keep me day by day. It's just like this all along the way. It's just like his great love. Number four. Oh, I will sing forever of Jesus' love divine. For his care and tenderness, for this full life of mine. Rains and waves are made. Singing. We will pause at this time to have the announcements, and after the announcement we'll be open for testimonies and more singing and your testimony.
Amen. Good evening. Welcome to Northfield Baptist Church again tonight as we worship the Lord tonight. We have a quick video we'll share right after the announcements, right at the end of the announcements, during the offering. And the bulletin says, let not your heart be troubled. Does anybody need one? Neither let it be afraid. A real good verse for what Patty is going through this week, that things like this can trouble our hearts and say, Lord, where are you? But he is right there with us and right protecting Patty and helping her through this time of emergency surgery. And so keep her in prayer. And we're glad that she is doing better. She's still in intensive care. She did get a cell phone charger back for her cell phone, so if you want to contact her, she turned it off this afternoon to get a nap, but she did turn it back on as I was leaving. So pray for her, and she is doing, every day is a little improvement, but it's going to be a long road for her. Then pray for John and Penny Hungerbueller. Penny's back home. Pray for them to find an apartment. Pray for Karen Hazel. Pray for John, pray for Justine as she's getting her treatment tomorrow. Pray that that goes through for the Remicade. So pray for Justine for that tomorrow, that that will go through. Pray for Danny Rivera and his family as they're finishing their house to move in. We pray for all these. And praise the Lord for Abigail's red blood cells going up to 10.7. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So almost to normal. So keep praying for her. We have an appointment for her in a month. With the doctor. Then tonight, please stay with us if you can for our food fellowship right after this. And there's goodies in there, so please stay if you can for a few minutes, and so we can get to fellowship a little bit. Then our ladies Bible study is this Saturday at 4 p.m. at Carol Gibson's house, and we're going out churchwide soul winning at 1 p.m. here at the church. So pray that we lead one to Christ or two. That would be a blessing, and pray that we make some contacts this Saturday. Any other announcements that need to be mentioned? We also, as I mentioned this morning, we do need brighter lighting up here, as Pastor Logan had said. So pray for Mr. Hodge and myself, and if anyone can be a third hand, that way Mr. Hodge can work on a light, I can work on a light, and then if you can get us our tools, get us the lights, get us whatever, we can get a lot done in that time frame. So if anyone can assist us, that would be much appreciated. If you would like to help us with that, or if anyone has electrical skills that can help as well, that would be great. That will be coming up. We do have lighting for the rest of the building. We just need LED lighting for the front here, for hi-hats to put up in the ceiling. But in the meantime, we can at least replace the ballasts and the fixtures that we have from what Wellington has laid up over the years. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? It's good to have Dylan back with us. Welcome back, Dylan. Mm-hmm. Good to have him with us tonight. And let us ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings. And then right after the offering, we'll show our video. And let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for staying up the money about to see the Lord. Just my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Right, the radio this time. I guess needs some of the lights turned off.
Yeah.
Who's close by the end?
John's there, close by.
Wow, I need one light on the side, huh?
You need one?
On the right side, buddy. Not that side, this other side.
Right here.
That side.
See, you and I have an opportunity on this earth to be able to rescue people from hell. The Bible says that some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And listen to me, I'm not trying to mock you. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But if we took this mic around and we had you stand up and you gave us your reason why you can't go soul winning, why you can't preach the gospel, and you gave us the best reason, you don't understand, Pastor. I got to work. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm kind of shy. You don't understand, Pastor. Saturday's when I do my gardening. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm just so busy. I'm just, listen to me. There's coming a day when all those excuses will be stupid. You'll sit there in heaven wishing you could go down to hell and rescue them. But yet you and I have that opportunity right now. And week after week after week, we make excuses. Well, I'm just shy. Well, I'm just not prepared. Well, I'm just not ready. Well, I just can't. Well, I'm too busy. So why would you preach a sermon like this? Because maybe you can get a vision to an unseen world after this life. And people die and go to hell. I'm busy too. I'm tired too. I'm shy too. I've got reasons why I wouldn't want to go too. But you know what? In heaven, we'll all wish we did more. In heaven, we'll all wish we had a soul winning seminar we could watch and learn how to preach the gospel properly. We'll all wish we could go out of church that had a Thursday night soul winning meeting, or a Saturday morning soul winning meeting, or a Sunday afternoon soul winning meeting, or out of church with some staff people in it that would go soul winning with you. Did you know that we have staff people in this church that go soul winning literally every day? And they'll go with you whenever you want. But you're too busy. But you're too important. Or you're too shy, or you're too fearful, or you're too afraid, or whatever your little excuse is. And I'm not trying to irritate you or upset you. I'm just telling you, in heaven, that excuse will be dumb. And in heaven, all of us will wish that we could be a soul winner. But by then, it's too late.
All right. So, Brother Hodge, we'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Light, please. Okay, let us turn back to a hymn books to page number 836. Sing the first verse and the chorus. And then we will be open for testimonies by your favorite song. Now, we're not going to let you have a sing a solo, but we sing along with you. So let's go by at this moment to 836. He gave it more grace. A single that we made.
He gave it more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To ask the question, he asked that his mercy. To multiply's trial, he multiply peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his
to save every soul. He has grace enough for anyone and everyone. Who would like to be first tonight with a testimony? Something that has happened this week, last week, even today. You'd like to share your blessings about that? Or maybe you have a song you'd like us to sing again. You have any, Pastor?
John has a great announcement.
John?
Possibility.
Yeah, my cousin Howard. I was able to talk to him today. He wants to get baptized.
Wow.
He said that before, but he's really anxious to do it now.
Okay.
Right. So our tentative date is 2 weeks from now. It'll be on the Saturday, though. He wants to do it on a Saturday evening. So me and Pastor were talking about maybe by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Start the service, because his daughter, Tina, gets off at 8 o'clock. She works very nice, but she gets off at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll start down with some music, and
now, do they work on Sunday morning, or one of them works?
No, I tried to talk to them about that, but they're bent on going to Fusion Church.
Okay,
all right.
So,
okay. Trying to work that out. I'm after your church.
Yeah, it'd be ideal if we could do it Sunday morning, even Sunday school time, and then that way they can just still go to that. But if we could do it Sunday. But if we have to do it Saturday night, we'll do Saturday.
Well, what they do on Sundays is they get his father and I think his sister and all go.
Okay.
So at least you're kind of getting them. They're going to step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They'll not quite hit the mark, but step in the right direction.
And that would.
The fact that the Stephen Ray going to church is pretty miraculous.
Yes.
And that would be this weekend?
No, not this weekend, the next one.
The next one,
so
the following.
This upcoming this week, I leave Tuesday.
Okay.
And I will be back to the following Tuesday.
Okay.
And he wouldn't be here this, because he's only down here every other weekend, so he's here today. He's probably on his way back now to where he lives.
Okay.
Maybe a week after that.
Okay.
Which will be,
okay, let's get started with one of the choruses we have on these are the hymn books. 14. What?
14th. Well, actually, it'd be the 13th.
Yeah, that's the music conference day.
Okay.
The same day as the music conference. That might be a little hard because we'll begin.
Yeah, we'll have to check that. We might have to do it 2 weeks after that.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, let's turn to a chorus book to page number 46 in the chorus books. While you're thinking about what you'd like to say as a testimony, giving God praise and thanks, page 46. Sing the first verse and the chorus, and then be open for the testimonies. Got it, Tricia?
God, think first of me.
love thee, my Savior. Amen. Who would like to be first? The testimony. Let's see some hand up somewhere. Someone, get a blessing. And we have our shy people. All right, thank you, Ms. Westcott.
I just thank the Lord and what He's done for our family again, and what He does for this church, and we know that we serve a true and living God, and He hears us.
Amen.
A lot of people pray to a God that is not a real God, does not have ears, does not have eyes, is not living, and is maybe a stone or an imagination, but we just think that the Lord has called us to His Word, and I'm thankful that He's righteous enough to despite our failings. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times daily. I'm thankful that despite our failings, He still hears us and how He depicts in His Word the relationship toward us as little children to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship with me and my children, that even when they make mistakes or if I make mistakes, you know, I know God never makes mistakes, but we never want that relationship severed. You know, so he hears us, he hears when we cry, and it's like a shepherd, the sheep know his voice.
Right.
Yes. His provision, his care.
Amen, amen. Someone else? Go ahead, Jim.
I'm great up here with you guys, and every Sunday, and Sunday night.
Amen. Good to have you, Jim. Good, good. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Evan.
I would like to pray for the family of Madden. The praise is that they found him, but the sound is that they found him and the creature. Just pray for the family.
Okay. Where did this happen?
The boy that disappeared.
Oh, the boy that disappeared. That's the handicapped boy, right? Okay. Right. We thank God that at least from the body you know whatever he's at this point. We don't know whether he was you know the Lord or not. But at least from the body, I know that
how
he's
old was he?
six years old.
So he was under the age of account.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The Lord took care of him.
Right. All right. Anyone else for a blessing from today or yesterday and for the week? Okay, Carol.
Well, as always in our household, it's a roller coaster ride. Mm. However, the roller coaster was up more than down this week, so that was really good.
Mm.
I did have to take her to the doctors for a cold that he started to get, but he's coming along. He's still got that leftover nagging cough, but he's doing remarkably well.
Okay.
In the meantime, we had eye doctor appointments on Friday. And you know my story, so this is chapter 2 about the eye doctor that said I had to have eye surgery, and I had a hard time understanding or feeling at peace about it. So anyway, I went to this doctor, trying not to tell him that we had been to the other doctor.
Okay.
As things progressed, I had to tell him or else I would have been lying, so I did tell him, he said to me at the end of my visit, which was a very long visit, he did every test there was imaginable to make sure of his findings, and he said, Carol, I don't see why. If it was me, I certainly wouldn't have eye surgery at this time. Praise the Lord. I didn't need to have surgery at this time. So he said, as long as it's not bothering you, he said, it's very minimal, it's very at the beginning. And so he said, well, watch it. But he said, I think you're fine. So I know many of you were praying, and so once again, God answers prayer. And as Gary already said, we serve a mighty God. And
that's
He
right.
does give more grace. He does give more grace. Even with we've developed a leak under our kitchen sink and everything was sopping wet under there. But on the other hand, he sent someone knocking on my door that I had never seen before in my life. And he was just passing by. And he looked at my car and he said, would you like that dent in the back of your car fixed? And I said, well, I don't think I can afford it at this particular time because I had been told it would cost between $1,000 and $1,200 to do it right. So he said that, my dad and I, it was a young man, are in the business. And he said, we have the machine. And he said, as long as we can do it on an off time, like the weekend, he said, I will only charge you $200. He said, there'll still be a pin mark left. I can't get that deepest pin mark where it looks like the point of a, what do you call that, an ice breaker upper. That will still be there. But he said the major dent will be pulled out and it'll look much better.
Okay.
And so it still has a cream on it. There's a cream that they put on it that, it's not a cream I'm sure, but a something that they put on it. And you have to leave it for 48 hours and then you wipe it away and voila, it's much better than it was. So, praise the Lord, this guy came knocking on my door. I didn't even call him.
And did you fix it?
And he took care of the sink?
Yeah.
Not the sink.
That's what I want to know. I know you started at that point.
Well, that's why the water goes dry. The sink is still leaking.
Still leaking.
We'll get that done soon.
Okay.
So God does give more grace.
All right. We're just about out of time. Anyone else have a testimony before time passes? Blessings? Anything else? Okay, go ahead, Tricia.
I've been blessed greatly by Dylan's testimony this morning.
Okay.
And I just thank the Lord to hear once again when someone is truly seeking truth,
right,
how God delivers.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God always does that. Seek him and ye shall find him.
Amen.
And he is not far from where we are, from us. As close to us as his words. Okay, just look in the word. And he's there to give us answer to our questions, our problems. At this time, Pastor Rice.
Okay.
I think you have to give your baby back to your wife.
It's nice to be able to hold my newborn. It's a blessing to...
That's the song we sang last Sunday.
Which one?
How sweet it is to hold a newborn baby.
Yes, from Because He Lives.
Because He Lives.
Yes, amen. It is very sweet to hold her. So she's very precious. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful that Abby is doing better. So I'm thankful my whole family is back out. Felt like I was a pastor without a family there for a little while. But when newborns are born, you know, they're very susceptible to things until their immune systems get built up a little bit. So that's something we've learned and we wanted to make sure of. That. So let us turn our Bibles tonight to Isaiah 52. In verse 7, Isaiah 52 and verse 7, as we continue tonight, the blessings. We looked at the sevenfold sin of not winning souls. Now let's look at the blessings of being a soul winner. The blessings of being a soul winner. Evangelist John R. Rice has preached many messages on soul winning, but he also preached on separation. He also preached on all the other doctrines of the Christian life, the Christian home, the... how to go through trials and tribulations. He wrote a book on prayer, Asking and Receiving. Excellent book by John R. Rice on prayer. And so he covered the many different doctrines as an evangelist. An evangelist and a pastor are the two offices still for today, listed there in Ephesians 4. And the office of the evangelist is important because they go around and they encourage churches to preach the gospel, but also they encourage churches to stay close to God. They encourage churches to still be soul winners. They encourage churches to still preach all the Bible, not just parts of the Bible, because churches have a tendency, pastors have a tendency, can have a tendency anyway, to start withdrawing a little bit. And so that's why the office of an evangelist is important. That's why we have an evangelistic meetings, revival meetings, every spring, and we're having a missionary in this coming December. December 2nd, we'll have a missionary to Israel coming to present his work to us. And so in the fall, we try to do missionaries. In the spring, we do evangelistic meetings and revival meetings. And so the office of evangelist is important, as well as the office of a pastor, teacher. So they are both important offices. Isaiah 52 and verse 7, let us bow together in prayer as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, tonight to come together apart from the busy activities of the week, that we can assemble together with your saints.
Amen.
in our local church. We thank you that you have established the local church as the pillar and ground of the truth, as the place where we can come and be edified, exhorted, challenged, at times rebuked, so that we can fight the good fight of faith and finish our course and preach the gospel. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be edified tonight, to be built up in the work which you have called us to do, the most important work that we have to do as Christians, and that is to tell others about you. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Teach us new truths from your word, that they are not new truths, but they are truths that have always been there. Perhaps we just have not found them yet. Lord, I pray you just help us to learn and grow tonight. And Lord, if there be anything in our lives that we need to confess and forsake and give over to you, Lord, that you'd help us to do that and help us to put on the right action in its place. And we pray you'd fill me with thy spirit and fill each one of us with your spirit, that we may be spirit-filled Christians tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Let's read this verse together. And verse 7 and 8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. So here we see, notice again, the word the watchman is there. Okay, we all know that our feet are beautiful as we preach the gospel. That you and I, we may have ugly feet. You know, mine aren't that attractive. You know, I have calluses on my feet. But God says our feet can be beautiful. Amen. If we preach the gospel. If we take the gospel to someone who doesn't know it yet, that our feet can be very beautiful. And that here we have the watchman shall lift up the voice. We are called to be watchmen. Because we see the attack is coming. The sword is coming. The sword of God's judgment is coming. And our job is to blow the trumpet and warn the people. Because if they don't hear, they will die in their sins and go to hell. But God says, why will you die, O house of Israel? Why will you die? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what?
Repentance.
So if God's perfect will were carried out right now, guess what? Everyone would get saved. But man can disregard and try to put off the will of God. Man can fight against God's will for their life. God gives us a choice, and man fights against it all the time. But God's sovereign purposes will be worked out, but his perfect will not happen for every person, because if they stay in their sins, they're going to die and go to hell. Okay, so here we see the blessing. The Christian who wins souls has special blessings which other Christians do not have. The Christian who does not obey Christ's command to win souls is not as good a Christian, does not have as many promises, nor as much joy, nor as many answers to prayer, nor know Christ as intimately as one whose life is centered on soul winning. Here's a very important truth that he brings out, and I think it's very important. To be a Bible scholar is not as good as being a soul winner. To be separated from worldly habits, amusements, and company is not as good as being a soul winner. To be a defender of the faith is not as good as being a soul winner. To be a martyr, to suffer persecution and death for your convictions is not as good as being a soul winner. You say, well, Pastor, what verses do you have on that? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the mark of a true Christian. First Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You can know and you can preach the best. You can be the best preacher in all the world, the best Bible teacher in all the world. But if we don't have charity, we're nothing. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You can understand every single doctrine, even the minor doctrines, even the more obscure doctrines in the Bible. But if you don't have charity for your fellow man to warn them of hell, you're nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So you can be the greatest martyr, you can give that great final exhortation as you die, but if you have not warned your fellow man as you've been living your life, it doesn't mean anything. And no one will probably listen at that point anyway. The martyrs that have died and given a good confession at their death, guess what? They were soul winners. They were already preaching the gospel, and that's what got them to that point to begin with. If we were to travel over to Iran right now, or to India in certain places, or to China, and you know, I just read more stories yesterday of the believers who are being persecuted at this very minute because they are soul winners. They are soul winners in a place where, I'm going to have to do the handoff, they are soul winners in a place where it's very dangerous to be. And they're risking life and limb to continue to be a soul winner. They are risking life and limb to tell people about the Lord. And there's one such family, the Soro and her husband Ali. They had been in Iran, and they got persecuted. They started a church. People came into their apartment. They led many people to Christ. But then they got arrested, right? Sure enough, they came into their house, barged in, they arrested her. Then sure enough, her husband came home, they arrested him, put him in prison for a while. And they knew that they were following the Holy Spirit's call to share the gospel, even though it meant possible death. Thankfully, they got released after a time. And they went, and so these are what Christians are going through every single day in other nations. And yet here in America, we have the most freedom to give the gospel. And what are we doing? What are we doing? I think we all need to, I'd subscribe to this if I were you. It's a really good reminder to pray for our fellow believers and to do our job here and to support missionaries and to support Christians in other lands. And so we can go to conferences, and I like going to conferences. But sadly, many Christians would, you know, we'll get 10, 20 people to sign up for a conference. And then when church soul winning time comes around, guess how many people will show up for that? A big fat zero. Why is that? Why is that? There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Dr. John R. Rice says to be a Bible scholar is not as good as being a soul winner. To be a defender of the faith is not as good as being a soul winner. Of course we should live clean lives, be devoted to and know our Bible, defend the faith, suffer persecution for Christ, but these Christian virtues and values are secondary to the one great end of keeping souls out of hell. So the soul winner has the best promises, has the most happiness here, and has the greatest rewards hereafter. There are exclusive blessings for the soul winners. Number one, he states that soul winners best Christians. Soul winners make the best Christians. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a Christian that's one of the best. I want to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is a little Christ. Okay? Why? Because when I stand before Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ, I want Him to be pleased with how I lived my Christian life. I don't care about what other people say. I don't care about other things. And we're not going to have other people standing there with us at the judgment seat. What I care about is what Jesus is going to say. Have I kept His words? Have I been obedient to them? You know, not just some, but all. And here we see that soul winners are still imperfect, frail, failing mortals. Some soul winners are better than other soul winners, but it is still true they are better Christians than those who do not win souls. If the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10, if Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15, Then those who work to do the same thing please him better than those who do not. If the greatest good one can do is to keep a person out of hell, give him everlasting life, make him God's child, and give him a blessed eternity with God, then he does more good than one who is not a soul winner can possibly do. In the book, The Ruin of a Christian, Dr. Rice has a chapter on the sevenfold sin of not winning souls, and we mentioned that this morning. Number two, soul winners have a special nearness to Jesus Christ. Special nearness to Christ that other Christians who do not win souls do not have. The special nearness. Surely every Christian longs consciously to be near the Savior, to know daily, hourly fellowship with Christ. In heaven, that fellowship will be complete. But the soul winner here and now has a degree of joy, of the leading, the boldness, the peace, the comfort, the assurance of that fellowship with which other Christians cannot have. So here we see Christ promised the soul winner to be always with him. Let's go to Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20. We could probably quote this one from memory. Matthew 28:20. Okay, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, let's say it together, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This promise is conditional. There's a condition on the promises of the Bible. There's conditions. They're called condition, promise, claiming verses in the Bible. Every promise has a condition attached. You can't find a verse that doesn't have a condition attached to the promise. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What's the condition? You have to be in Christ in order to be a new creature. Okay. How about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We all want our children not to depart from God, but what do we have to do? What's the condition attached? Train him up in the way he should go. Another promise. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Here are the promises. God will order our steps. What's the condition? We have to delight in his way and obey him. Okay, then he'll order our steps. Okay, so same thing here. We love to claim, lo, I am with you always. But really, we've got to seek that passage in its proper context, which is, if we are a soul winner, those who go and win souls have the promise of intimate fellowship, protection, and success. This coincides with the teaching, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Abiding in Christ and fruit bearing go together. Those who enter into Christ's compassion, labor, and burden to win the lost are thus specially blessed. Okay, so here there's a special nearness to Christ, always with the sinner. So that means anywhere you or I go, and we're telling people about Jesus, and we're giving out tracts, and we're trying to do our feeble efforts, our best feeble efforts. We might stammer, we might stutter, we might get a little scared at the moment, but we just go anyway. And we say, here's the good news of the gospel. This is how you can be saved. And then as we get talking a little bit more, then we get a little more bold and a little more firm, and we get a little more confident. Well, why is that? Well, the reason that we get that way is because Jesus is with us, and we sense his presence. We sense his presence. Okay, number two, the obedient Christian has special love and manifestation from Christ. Has special love and manifestation from Christ. You say, how is that possible? Let's go to another promise condition verse. Okay, let's go to John 14, 21. John 14:21. Let's read it together. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay, so here, what is the promise? God will love us if we do what? What's the condition? Keep his commandments. Okay, Paul gave up much to win Christ or be used, Philippians 3:8, and also to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wanted to share Christ's heart burden for the lost, to suffer the persecution of a soul winner, and so to know Christ in a way other Christians who are not soul winners could not know him. So the obedient Christian has special love and manifestation from Christ. Why? Because he's obeying the very important command to go and preach the gospel to every creature. So we like the other commands. You know, I'll be honest. You know, I like the other commands. Learn the word and pray without ceasing. You know, and we work on those a lot. But those are good, and we need to follow those too. But what about the command to go, to go, to go? That's an important command, and I get lonely at times. I get lonely, begging, oh please, can you come help with this soul winning ministry over here? Help with the Good News Club. You know, it gets hard. It gets lonely at times, begging for people. We need to just say, hey, you know what, Lord? I know you want me to do this. Lord, can you help make a way for me to do this? I want to do this. You know, I shouldn't have to beg for people to come and to win souls. This should be our heartbeat every day. Saturday soul winning. You know, I know everyone can't come, but I know many of us, when we get to heaven, like Brother Jimenez said, that we're make excuses. And guess what? Those excuses aren't going to hold up in heaven. We're going to say, oh, why did I make that excuse? Why did I say Saturday was the day to do my errands? The most important errand I have on this earth is to go soul winning. Then I'll do my errands after that. You know, that's what we'll all be saying up in heaven. And there will be not one of us. Come to me after the service if you don't agree with that. We'll show you verse after verse after verse that will say, no, you're right. My errands come second. To God's important priority comes first. And he will then make our errands get blessed. You know, we'll be able to accomplish in 2 hours after we go soul winning what we used to accomplish in 5 hours without going soul winning. You know, that's the way it is. Because God then streamlines our stuff because we're putting his stuff first. And so it gets discouraging. We have to be a soul winning church. You say, well, Pastor, why don't we just be a teaching church? You know, let our church have the gift of being a teaching and preaching church. You know, and we can be pious and we can kind of put our hands together. Yeah, well, we don't specialize in soul winning here. We specialize in teaching and preaching. Well, guess what? You can't say you're a teaching and preaching church without emphasizing soul winning. Guess what? You're not a teaching and preaching church. You're not preaching all the counsel of God. Your ministry as a church is dwindling, and it's going to go down. It's going to keep going down until it's just a few, and it's going to die. Shelton Smith, he says, Sword of the Lord, this is where I got this article. I encourage you, take a newspaper on your way out. They're really good, the Sword of the Lord newspapers. He writes articles, and he says, there's three stages to a church. The first stage is three stages to the downfall of a church. Church, first they institutionalize. That's where The church used to be soul-winning, but they kind of gradually shift from being a soul-winning, go-get-em church, a fired-up church, and reaching people out there, bringing them in, getting them saved, or getting them saved out there, then bringing them in to a church that gets institutionalized. That's where they get more money, and they get structures, and they put committees in place, and they put this and that, and that takes the place of soul-winning in the church. They get institutionalized, and then the next step after that, they fossilize. Once they fossilize, that means they're on a very quick path to nothing, to dying as a church. Well, we don't want to get to the place where we're institutionalized. The churches that are in the institutionalized phase, guess what? They're dying. They're on their way out. So we need to stay as a soul-winning church, or else we will institutionalize and then fossilize. So here we see the obedient Christian has special love manifestation from Christ. Number three, the soul winner is a witness for Christ. They are a witness. So they are near to Christ by being His witness. That's so important that we tell others about Christ. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus is speaking about soul winning. A personal witness for Christ has a special nearness. When Jesus rose from the dead, He appeared to the disciples. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." John 20:21. Now He offers another step and degree of peace, the peace of those sent by Jesus as He was sent by the Father. So the soul winner has an intimate fellowship with Jesus, is sent by Him and especially loved by Him, and has His special peace. Okay, then, number three, soul winners are promised special cleansing for fruit bearing. Special cleansing for fruit bearing. That's so important. We need to be cleansed in our Christian life. John 15:2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So the Christian who wins souls has special help in living right. God is honored more by helping the soul winner live a clean life. In taking Palestine, the Lord commanded Israel that in attacking a city, they must not cut down a certain kind of tree. Does anybody know in Deuteronomy 20:19-20, what kind of tree they weren't supposed to cut down? Not the cedar. Okay? Olive is one of them. A fig is another one of them. You're on the right track. They weren't to cut down what kind of trees? No, cedar's not one of them. Fruit bearing. They weren't to cut down fruit bearing trees. What? You know, they were supposed to destroy everything else, especially the Canaanite ungodly, wicked, immoral religion of Baal. They were just to eradicate it. Why? Because it was so much of a stink in God's nostrils. The way they behaved, the way they just horridly behaved themselves and abused their bodies one with another and just did horrible things in worship of Baal and in worship of themselves. God said the Canaanite Baal religion, fertility religion, it's gone. He wiped it out. But they were to destroy everything except for fruit trees. That's one thing they were not to destroy. As fruit trees are dear to men, God's fruit trees, soul winners, are dear to Him. God's ministers sometimes feel they should first teach Christians the Bible and clean living, hoping these will later win souls. But they do not make as good Christians of young converts as the pastors and evangelists who teach people their main duty is to win souls. I'm really impressed with Brother Dylan. You know, as soon as he got saved, someone taught him, "Hey, don't just grow in your Christian life, and no, you need to win souls now too." And so he's focused. He's zeroed in on, "Hey, I want to learn how to be a soul winner." And he's young in his Christian faith. You've only been saved since last summer, correct? So you've been saved about a little over a year, is that correct? Okay, a little over a year. So he wants to learn how to be a soul winner. That's the way we should be. We should not grow much in our Christian life without getting that started, being a soul winner. And you know what? Those will be the converts that are going to stay with us. They're going to be the converts that we're going to be able to grow our church with. They're the ones that as we get them saved and then say, hey, now that you're saved, here's the Bible. Here, let me show you some verses on soul winning. Here's what, now that you're saved, hey, you've got a mom and dad, right? Yeah? You got a brother and sister, right? Yeah? Do you have any siblings? Yeah? How about children? Do you have any children? No, not yet. Okay, well, here's what you need to do. You need to have a burden for them. Start praying for them right now. Start praying for them. Start praying for them to be saved. And give them the gospel. Give them what you just got. And here, I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you some verses. I'm going to show you. And as they grow, guess what? They're going to just have a hunger for the souls of their family members. And then the hunger for souls around them. And that's so important. That's the missing ingredient. I believe that's why so many new converts drop out, because they aren't taught to be a soul winner. We've got to get that in there. We've got to train the new converts to become soul winners. Don't take it from me. Take it from Dr. Rice, who's done this for many years, led thousands to Christ, and thousands who became good, mature Christians, and then led others to Christ. Why? Because he taught them soul winning as well as the other things of the Christian life. But their main duty was to win souls. God himself presses on the soul winner to be clean. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Christians who earnestly labor at soul winning feel they are citizens of a heavenly country and are not supposed to be like the people of this world. That helps that new convert to say, hey, you know, I'm not gonna do what the other people do. Right, Brother Dylan? That helps you in your Christian life. I'm not going to do what my friends are doing. I'm going to get out of the public school. Why? Because I got to win souls. And what are my friends doing in public school? They're living for themselves. They're going to this party, going to that party, dressing in these clothes and being immodest and doing these things. And some are doing drugs, and some are committing suicide, and some are doing this. You know what? They see right away. Hey, I want to do something so much better than what they're doing. I want to win souls. You know, if we put our energies, if we put our emphasis on winning souls, that we will have a impetus inside that God will give us every day, that, hey, you know what, I'm not going to do that frivolous thing. Hey, you know, others may do that, but I'm not going to do that. And so it helps us. Those trying to snatch people from the fire tend to hate the garments spotted by the flesh. Why? Because every day as they're witnessing to people, they're seeing the people getting destroyed by the very sins that they're being tempted with every day. And they're saying, wait, why do I want to give in to the temptation? Watching that stupid TV show that glorifies immorality and violence, or that video game, Fortnite, that just goes around jumping around and blowing other people up, shooting people. Why do I want to get involved in that, waste my time on that, when I'm trying to save souls, not kill people, you know? What a waste of time. Complete waste of time. Our young people, that's the latest popular video game. It's called Fortnite. And it's just about, you know, someone dropping out of the sky. I've never played it. Never even watched it played. Just saw screenshots of it. And just people dropping out of the sky with whatever, some kind of survival weapon. And they got to keep upgrading that weapon. And meanwhile, everyone's trying to kill them. And they're trying to kill everybody else. What is that putting into young people's heads? And they wonder why kids do these school shootings. They wonder why we have these problems. Well, it's because the society is just glorifying violence. Glorifying, hey, you know, just survive. And, oh, spend all your spare time on these stupid video games that won't mean a thing in eternity, but it'll be wasted time. And that's what we need to realize. That's how the unsaved world spend their time. So the soul winner who's trying to reach into the fire and get these people out, guess what? He's not going to be playing Fortnite. He's going to be saying, "Hey, I want to learn more about the scriptures. I want to listen to preaching sermons. I want to listen to men who preach the word, and I want to learn and grow in that. And I want to be in my Bible, and I want to be praying to the Lord all through the day, so I can be a good witness." You know, it keeps us on our toes, because we're trying, the very people we're pulling out, they're getting damaged by it. We see they're in severe trouble because they've been playing these games, because they've been, and so to get them rehabbed to the point where they're thinking straight again for God, that it's going to take a while. And so we're not going to be giving into that. So a soul winner has a special compulsion, inner compulsion from the Holy Spirit, that this or that worldly thing is not the way of happiness and blessing for them. God Himself has pledged to help purge and cleanse the life of a Christian who wins souls. Oh, there are blessings a soul winner has beyond those of any other. Number four, soul winners have the fullest blessing of the Holy Spirit. They have the fullest blessing of the Holy Spirit. The heroes of yesteryear, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, Spurgeon, the missionaries, the Livingston, and this young gentleman that came from Africa to study the Word of God, and he had the fullness of the Holy Spirit in him as he went and trained for the ministry, and then he died at the young age of 21, but literally had a whole missionary movement at that school because of his life and ministry. Why was that? Because he wanted to please God, and he didn't want to be sidetracked by the things of this world. He wanted to be a soul winner. He had a burden for his lost countrymen in Africa. He wanted to take the gospel back to them, and as a result, many did do that in his place. And so we know that every Christian has been a partaker of some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He was convicted by the Spirit, John 16:7. He is born of the Spirit. Every one of us have been born of the Spirit. In some varying measure, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our teacher, our prayer helper. This comforter abides in the body of every Christian. But we remember that after Jesus breathed on the apostles on the day of His resurrection, John 20:19-22, He commanded them, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high," Luke 24:49, "and promise, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto othermost part of the earth." It is clear that there is a special power, an endowment for soul winning. It is clear that these and many other scriptures, that the fullness of the Spirit is given for soul winning power, and that blessing other Christians do not have. So, literally, if we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life, which that should be the goal of every Christian. You know, I don't know of any Christian who would just say, well, I want 80% of the Holy Spirit. Or I want just 65% of the Holy Spirit. I'm content with 50% of the Holy Spirit. No, we want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to be filled. Why? Because it says in the Bible, "And be not drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." We desire, we long for that. Why? Because we know things aren't right. We know as a Christian, when we get apathetic and when we're cold and when we're just going through the motions, we know we're not filled. And we know there's something wrong. And we desire more than we have. Well, here what we need is we need the filling of the Holy Spirit, not just for ourselves. See, a lot of people just want the filling. "Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit." No, that's a half prayer. It's a half scriptural prayer. The reason we should say, "Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit so that I may give Your gospel to the lost people." That's the reason we need to be filled with the Spirit. So the only way that we can bear much fruit and fruit that remains and some 30 and some 60 and some 100 fold is if we pray for the filling of the Spirit so that we can win souls. That is the reason. That is the reason. The day of Pentecost happened where they were filled with the Spirit, not so they could be great prayer warriors. "Oh, praise the Lord," Peter said, "I'm filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to go into my prayer closet. Okay, see you later, 3,000 in Jerusalem. Hold on a second, I got to pray all day today." You know? No, they just got off of 10 days of prayer. God then filled them with the Spirit as a fulfillment of their prayer, so they could do what? So they could preach the gospel to lost people. So the whole point of being filled with the Spirit is so we can have power, because we lack it. We lack power as Christians. We are not We are not batteries. We are not Energizer. We do not produce power. We need to get plugged in to someone that has all power, and that is Jesus Christ. We are just batteries. We need to reflect the full charge of Jesus Himself. And the only way we can have that is if we ask for it for the purpose of winning souls. Then number five, soul winning can understand the Bible better than other Christians. Soul winners. Wow, that's pretty neat. How many wanted to understand obscure passages or understand more of the Bible? Well, here God promises if we become a soul winner, and that let that be our main emphasis and purpose, and then to disciple them in the Word of God, that we will be able to understand the Bible better than other Christians who are not soul winners. There's a special relationship between and a spiritual understanding of the Word of God and God's power in soul winning. Number one, God's special interest means the soul winner has more divine help in studying and preaching. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. There is special care of the soul winner in protecting him from evil influence. God cares for His fruit trees more than other trees. That's interesting. God cares for His fruit trees more than for other trees. So, are some Christians more blessed than others? The answer to that question is in John 15. And in Daniel 12 too. And in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That if we want to be fully blessed by God, let's be a fruit tree of His. Not just a prayer tree, or not just a tree that's a conference tree, or a tree that's a student tree, or a tree that's this tree or that tree. Let's be a fruit tree. David used this argument with God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We know David was a soul winner. He led many to Christ. He got to lead all of Israel back to good faith in God again as a result of him standing up to Goliath. And I'm sure many young Israelites got saved that day. Many who didn't know Christ as yet, many who didn't believe in the Messiah as yet, probably got saved that day because they saw, wow, this young guy that's my age had faith in God and His Messiah, and now he just killed a giant 2-3 times his size. Wow, that's a God I can believe in. You know? And so David probably brought many to Christ in the many big occasions of his life. You say, how do you know that? Well, David prayed in Psalm 51:12-13, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That here David longed for what he didn't have for that 9 months he was in sin with Bathsheba and not confessing it. He wasn't able to teach transgressors God's ways. You say, what's teaching transgressors God's ways? To lead unsaved people to Christ. He wasn't able to preach the gospel to unsaved people. He didn't want anything to do with preaching the gospel to the unsaved. Why? Because he was in sin with God and not willing to confess it. Unconfessed sin will keep us from being a soul winner. If we harbor sin in our life, it'll keep us from doing the most important thing that we need to do. We are taught then to expect God to give us joy, to uphold us by His Spirit, and otherwise help us on the condition that we will teach transgressors His ways and have sinners converted. Surely that would involve help in understanding the Word of God. It is a blessed thing how God has kept major soul winners away from disastrous heresies. For example, Charles Spurgeon grew up with the post-millennial viewpoint, which is that the world is getting better and that the gospel will soon conquer the world. Okay, we look in the world today. Is that happening? Is the gospel conquering the world? No, we see everything's getting worse and worse, just like Jesus said. Jesus said, when He comes back, will there be faith found on the earth? That even Christians, born-again Christians, will get to the point where their faith will be so small that Jesus will have to use a microscope to find it. And that's what we're seeing today. Christians just used to be militant and going Sunday morning to Sunday school, morning worship, coming back Sunday night, and then couldn't wait for Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study and get into the Word of God and disciple others. Now we see, I'm too busy. I'm just going to come to one service. And make it convenient for me, too. I want to go Saturday night. So that way, Sunday, I can do my thing. That's what has Christianity come to today, where churches are doing that? They've sold out to the world. They've sold out their convictions to the world. They've sold out. I like what one preacher says of those kind of churches, where they just have Saturday night, couple services Saturday night, three services Sunday morning, and they're all the same kind of service with the same music, the same preaching, and just about everything's the same. Why? So they can get five different groups of people in to get offerings and tithes from five different groups of people so that they can build big buildings and keep their entertainment driven services going and amped up and have to take it a little higher the next week. They call them, one preacher called them Chuck E. Cheese Church down the street. Chuck E. Cheese Church. What do kids do at Chuck E. Cheese? They go to get entertained. They go to play video games. They go to ride on rides. They go to eat pizza. They go to play and have fun with their friends. And then they go home. And that's a good description. It's an entertainment philosophy. A fun center. That's good. A fun center. Should church be a fun center, or should it be Christ-centered? Christ-centered. Should be all about Him and His Word and the whole counsel of God. Why? Because we need the whole counsel of God. How weak and unhealthy we'd be if we only had a pastor that would preach maybe a third of the truths of the Bible. And say, well, we're not going to go to that book because that's a little bit hard. And we're not going to preach Jude because that one talks about false teachers and, well, we may be one of them, so we're going to put Jude out of our equation here. And we're not going to preach about hell, so sorry, Jesus, when you speak three times about hell, then you speak about heaven, you know, well, we're going to just minimize that. You know, this is what churches and pastors are coming to. Why? Because they want to be a Chuck E. Cheese church. How sad. How sad. And so here we see that God keeps soul winners from disastrous heresies. Charles Spurgeon grew up with that post-millennial viewpoint that Christ would come back when the whole world got saved, and that's, of course, never going to happen. And so, literally, Christ would never come back if that was true. But the Bible says the opposite. Christ is going to come back when faith will be weak and waning. But in truth, there is a premillennial flavor all through Spurgeon's preaching. His viewpoint was that Christians were citizens of another world, that Jesus might come at any moment. Reared a Congregationalist, he was shown by an Anglican teacher that baptism should be for believers only, and so was made a Baptist. In a day when theologians thought that one must be a strict Calvinist or an Arminian, Spurgeon was nominally a Calvinist and said so. But he preached for 40 years with unceasing power to the multitudes that whosoever will might come and be saved and that Christ died for all. So what helped Spurgeon to stay away from the heresies that he was brought up with, that he was taught by his teachers, that others tried to push on him? What helped him? The doctrinal background which would have led him astray was counteracted by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit in his soul-winning ministry. His soul-winning made him different from the hyper-Calvinists of today with their teaching of limited atonement and man's total inability to repent. There was a premillennial fundamental flavor in the teachings of John Wesley, D.L. Moody, R.A. Torrey, and Billy Sunday. John and Charles Wesley, though ardent Arminians and also child baptizers, wrote some of the greatest hymns on salvation by grace without works and stressed the new birth. That these guys, whenever they gave us a hymn, notice that hymn didn't come with heresy in it. Why is that? Because their soul-winning fervor helped them to get out, to stay away from that when giving us a hymn or when teaching a great sermon and winning many to Christ. So, without being soul winners, John and Charles Wesley would have led Methodism into total heresy, but they didn't. They weren't able to. Why? Because they were soul winners. I am acquainted with most of the greatest soul-winning pastors in America. By the way, the Methodism of John and Charles Wesley in the 1700s, 1790s, and the Methodism of today is two different animals. So when we think of Methodism, we're like, Pastor, why are you even talking about Methodism? It's horrible. It is horrible today. But it wasn't the Methodism of John and Charles Wesley many years ago. They were soul winners. They were fundamentalists. They believed the scriptures and what it said. Yes, they were influenced by the established churches, so they did keep some of the trappings. But by and large, they would today John and Charles Wesley and those Methodists would rise up against the Methodists of today. And guess what they'd do? They'd become Baptists. They'd get out of the United Methodist Church. They'd become Baptists. Why? Because they see there's nothing biblical in there. Having women preach and having homosexual lesbian clergy and not preaching the gospel and just preaching a social gospel. Guess what? They'd get out of there so fast. They'd go to literally what the common denominator today of fundamental Bible preaching. All we can find it in anymore is independent Baptist churches and some independent Bible churches. It's really the only places left that you can find true, all the counsel of God Bible teaching. Why? Because the other churches have gone off the rails over the years. And so we see that today. Okay, number two, soul winners use the Bible more. They use the Bible more. When you hear a soul winner preach, you're going to hear many Bible passages. When you hear a non-soul winner preach, you're not going to hear as many Bible passages. Romans 1:16 is the proof text for that. Romans 1:16, let's say it together if you know it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Every soul winner uses the Bible. It is by the Word of God that people are saved, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23, we are told the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Real soul winners like R.I. Torrey, William Evans, Will Houghton, and Billy Sunday taught how to use the Word of God in soul winning. Thus, it is not surprising that the soul winner learns to rely on the Bible more, loves it more, and the Holy Spirit helps him more as he reads and uses it. The soul winner has help in understanding the Bible and has the safeguard and protection of the Spirit in major matters of doctrine that one will not have except as he gives himself wholly to soul winning. Okay, and we are out of time, so we'll have to, it's just a tiny bit left in this message, so we'll have to cover another time, but it talks about the soul winner's joy exceeds all other joys. The joy we get at a Bible conference from learning the Bible and applying something is a great joy, but it doesn't compare with the joy of leading someone to Christ. Every time I lead someone to Christ, whether it's at Meadowview, or whether it's Atlantic, or whether it's door-to-door, or whether it's at the Good News Club, or whether it's somewhere in the community, I'm on cloud nine, and I stay that way for a long time. And I'm just so excited that God saved another soul, and we just get kind of lost in the fact, wow, Lord, you'd use little old me to help someone come to Christ. Wow, what a great privilege that is. What, I am not worthy, Lord. And then it's a joy every time you see him then in the service. Then they come to the service and you say, wow, they're here, they're learning, they're growing, praise the Lord. They were Catholic on their way to hell. Now they're saved on their way to heaven. And what a joy it is. There's the soul winner's joy. There's nothing like, as John says in his gospel, or in 1 John, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. He's talking about his spiritual children. John was a soul winner in 3 John. We need to be that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to study your word. We thank you for the many verses you gave us to give us motivation for soul winning. Lord, I pray you'd help us to seek out these truths tonight, Lord, that we would not just let them stay here, but that we would search it out, that we'd search the scriptures, that we'd say, Lord, is this true? Lord, if it is, I need to do this very truth. Lord, I pray you'd not give us any peace until we wrestle this thing out and come to your scriptural truth on it, that we can be led by the Spirit, Lord. And with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, tonight, perhaps you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I needed this message tonight because the Lord showed me I need to be a fruit-bearing Christian. Amen. And I want to do that. I want to tell God tonight with His, if He will help me, I want to be a more of a fruit-bearing Christian for Him. That's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. We see, amen. I see the hand. Amen. Is there anyone else? I want to be more of a fruit-bearing Christian for Christ. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray You just bless this time now, bless this invitation, and bless this week, Lord, that we'd apply some of these very truths that we learned tonight to our soul winning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book to the hymn, So Little Time. We're not going to sing all five verses. We'll sing three. 841, and if you need to come for any reason, maybe you want to pray for someone, maybe you want to pray for yourself for boldness, maybe you want to say, Lord, help me, I need Your help with this, would you come tonight to the altar? 841, we'll sing the first, the third, and the fifth. Let us all stand together as we sing this song.
So little time, the harvest will be over, our reaping done. Continue to bless him and to lead him and heal his body, Lord.
Pray for Sister Pat and the Lord continue to heal her body, Lord. Pray for Brother John Dora, continue to bless Justine, Lord, and heal her.
Yes,
Lord. Sister Trish, Father, for her husband and for herself. Pray that you continue to be with her, Lord. Be with us all tonight as you have always been. Continue your blessing on us. Bless the food, Father, and the prayers and nourish our body. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.